is March 25th, 1997, and my name is Sheila Day. This evening I'm at the home of Henrietta Jesse, and we're going to talk about her experience in life as an educator and a variety of other things because she's got a lot of things to tell us. So, Henrietta, why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Henrietta van der Zanden Jesse, and I live here. I've lived here in the county all my life, and I have taught within a 10-mile radius of where I was born. Through those years of teaching experience, I've gained much information and widespread. Widespread experiences.
Okay. Well, what Henrietta pointed out to me is that she had written a story for the Oregon Education Association for a book that was published in 1977. And one of the first things kind of gives a little capsule of her beginning in life. So would you like to just read that first paragraph here? And that'll give everybody an idea of how you came about.
Fine. That early spring day on April 19, 1999, marked the beginning of my life's many and varied experiences. On that day, my twin brother and I were welcomed into the family by our parents, two brothers, and a sister. During the ensuing years, our family increased, and now there were 10, 6 boys and 4 girls. Our childhood days on the farm were filled with such activity, both with much activity, work and play. Each had his or her chores and jobs to do, and each had special interests such as animal pets, riding horses, soapbox hot rods, homemade toys, musical instruments, including cigar box, violin, ball games, and so forth.
Well, that's great. So now we know that you're in this large family of 10 children.
Yeah.
So you and your brother, twin brother, Henry, what position in the family were you? Were you the oldest?
Fifth.
No, fifth.
Fifth.
Okay. And tell me your parents' name. What were they?
My dad's name was John, or nicknamed Jock, and my mother was Anna, and her maiden name was Bernard, also a local family in the Fairborn district.
So we're going to jump ahead now, can we do that, into when you're a young adult. So tell me, when did you ever think that you wanted to be a teacher? What did you want to do? When you're growing up, I know from my experience, you don't always think about that until it kind of happens.
It sort of happened in high school. But times were tough. It was depression time, and there was money to go on to school right from high school, which I only went 3 years, by the way,
to high school.
To high school. Had enough credit, and the principal said you might as well join the senior class. So I did. They never gave me the class I was with.
All because you jumped ahead?
Because I left.
Oh, yeah.
But nevertheless, then I went to work at different jobs to save up money enough to go on to Oregon Normal School, which is now Western Oregon State College. And then
we at Monmouth.
At Monmouth. Only had, at that time, to go 2 years to get some teaching certificate. And then the next thing was...
What year did you think?
1935.
When you went to
college?
When
I finished.
When you graduated from Monmouth. Okay.
And then was the job hunting deal.
So when, excuse me, but how old were you when you graduated from college? 1905. Oh, wow, we've got to subtract 1909 to 1935. Would that be it? He graduated in 1935. So,
I was 28.
26.
That sounds right.
So, you might have been older than some of the other students in the class because you had to work to get a little money to go to college?
Well, yes, there were different age groups, really, because not everybody went on from high school to college. They didn't have money.
Sure.
And so I didn't really know. I finished with some exactly my age.
Oh, because maybe that was common then.
Yes, because you couldn't, you couldn't go on to college until you had money to, you know, for tuition and so forth. And so, no, I had dear friends who shared that we were the same age.
Oh, so that I didn't think about that because to graduate today, you would be older than the rest.
Yes.
But for sure, because there wasn't a lot of money.
No.
Well, you had to earn your own way.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
And, well, then, following graduation, then it was applying for a job, teaching job. And jobs, and it was scarce. Jobs were scarce for, you know, a lot of graduates hunting for school position. So I finally got a contract up at Green Mountain, which was about 14 miles from Banks up in the hills beyond Buxton. And it was a definitely a rural school.
Was it up past Pocona then? Or in that vicinity?
Yeah, almost Pocona.
Oh,
between
but it was on Green Mountain,
yeah,
not Pocona Road.
No. Green Mountain.
Okay.
Up there. All right. And well, I was real happy to have a job.
Sure.
And well, the school then I boarded with the family up near lived in the area. And I was offered the contract, $750 for the 9 months school for the year.
Oh.
Plus $1 a month for janitor work. That meant scrubbing the floors, carrying the water from across the road from the neighbors in a bucket, and then having that for drinking water, mind you, at school.
In the bucket.
In a bucket.
So you got it out of the neighbor's well.
Yeah. And then the outdoor
house.
I had to scrub that and keep it clean. And then that was for $1 a month.
Oh,
and build the fire in the pot village stove.
And the wood was there. You didn't have to cut it properly.
I just had to put the kidney.
Oh, fine.
And so on real cold winter days, I would take something and prepare something there where I board to take the heat up to give them some hot chocolate or something.
For the students.
Yeah. And there, so I had all 8 grades in that school, and only 27 students, but had to cover all the subject matter for the 8th grade. 8th grade.
8th grade.
And, oh,
so,
that was an experience.
Well, so you lived with a family up
there
that was very near the school. How did you get to the school? Or was it very far away?
It was about, I would say 3 miles from the school. And I had my little Model A Ford.
Oh, you had a car?
Yes.
Oh.
I had a car, and I was the only one down among at Monmouth that had a car. I'm not the only one, but very few had a car. So I was very popular because they but anyway, I drove to school in my little Model A, and then, but on bad days and no rock roads, you know.
It was a dirt road?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And so, but I couldn't drive the car, then I had to walk, or the snow was too deep, I rode deal, horseback to get there.
Oh.
One day I even went on my skis.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Just down the road?
Yeah, well, it was uphill.
Oh, it was up?
Yeah, it was up in the mountains.
But
yeah.
I mean, I, from where you lived to the school, was it up?
Yeah, Grand Mall, so
you had to go up there to school.
And, well, anyway.
Well, it must have snowed a lot up there then.
Well, that year it was a big snow.
A big snow.
Uh-huh. Right? It was a lot of big snow there.
So a $7.50 plus a dollar for the cleaning fees.
Janitor. Oh, yeah. And I paid $20 a month, room and board.
Did $750, did that seem like a lot?
Yeah.
For that whole school year?
Yeah.
That was good pay?
I had friends who taught for less.
Oh. So that was a reasonable wage.
Yeah.
And then did you come home on the weekend?
Yes, because I couldn't stay there over the weekend because they had charged me more money.
Oh.
So I came home for the weekend.
Oh, so that was a kind of a drive too, mm-hmm. even though now it's not so far, but
yeah.
In those days that was a effort.
Yeah, yeah. The gas and everything.
Sure. But so, you were probably glad to go home with your family.
Oh, yeah. So, but this school year was very, very interesting, and we had our usual holiday programs, mm-hmm. patriotic programs, and I think I said in here, too, about the Halloween party.
This was at Green Mountain School?
Yeah. Oh, that was a riot.
Tell me, what happened?
Well, we thought that we would make cider. One of the students down, there was an old abandoned orchard down beyond the school.
Uh-huh.
And he said, this sixth, seventh grade boy said, well, we can help, we'll help get the apples and we'll make cider. So we did. We made cider. We thought we had enough, you know, for the party. And then I sent notes home to bring us so many donuts.
Oh,
so we got donuts.
Sure.
And we had a program plan. Lo and behold, I nearly collapsed. It was an evening party. And here, all that was the only activity in the community. And the biggest group of people showed up.
The parents and all their kids
yeah.
and everybody.
And I was overwhelmed. I knew we didn't have enough cider and donuts, and I was so nervous, but this was the highlight of their
big party.
Community.
And that was probably right at the beginning of the school
year.
Yeah,
right at Halloween, yeah.
So some people were just meeting you and
sure.
wanted to meet you.
Sure,
so there you were.
Oh, I never
So what did you do? Did the people bring more food or
no,
any cookies?
No, they didn't. We just used what we had. And the kids have their planned little program.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
But the state probably was probably all right.
Oh, yes, it was all
sure.
right.
It was
for them, that was a community
get-together.
Sure, yeah.
And the school used to be the focus of a lot
that
of things.
That was all they had. There wasn't any other hall or any other meeting
no
place.
No church place
no.
up there?
Uh-uh.
Well, then, that's good.
So that was that first experience.
Your introduction to the community.
Yeah.
Can you remember any other good or bad things that happened up there, Green Mountain?
Well, one poor family. Of course, I'm not mentioning any names, but I felt so sorry. There were three or four in this family in school, and they offered me one of the sandwiches. Goat meat wrapped in newspaper.
Oh.
Goat meat sandwich.
And a sandwich was wrapped in newspaper? And that's what the children ate
Definitely.
For their lunch.
Yeah, they each had to bring their lunch. You
sure.
Know.
Oh,
you
dear.
Know me, I tried to.
Did you eat it?
No, not the stuff.
Oh,
no, I couldn't.
And they probably just didn't have anything else.
No, that's all they had. They raised goats.
Uh-huh.
And for the milk and the food. A real poor family.
Dear.
Well, that was one of the
sure,
upsetting experiences.
What did the kids, did they bring their lunches or what? How did they eat? They had lunchtime, so they all brought back lunch.
Oh, sure.
Today.
Yeah.
that was just a common thing, and then they would sit around if it was raining inside,
inside
or if it was good,
their
outside, yeah.
And then I had only one in the eighth grade, one student in the eighth grade, and he was, he had been retained somewhere along the line, I guess, or late starting school, but he was 14, and he, at that time, they took a state test, state exam, in order to get a diploma. It wasn't that we had, one that we administered, it was a state. So I worked with him extra specially,
sure,
special time, to get him ready for his test, because I knew it was a test over all the subjects. It wasn't just one subject. And so he made it.
Oh.
It was my first eighth grade graduate.
And you probably wanted him to really get...
Oh, I did, because we couldn't be sure. He was 14 then.
Oh, yeah.
And
so his family and he were probably really proud, too.
Oh, yeah. We've
it.
Been...
Yeah.
His sister and I have been... Graduate is gone now, but his sister.
Oh, that's great. That's really good. So how long did you teach at Green Mountain?
Just the 1 year.
1 year. And then what?
Then I taught at...
Now, you weren't married then. Were you married then?
No.
No, okay. You should have told me when the marriage comes in. So the next school, you said
then,
school.
Then I was... the year following this Green Mountain, I got married.
Oh, all right. So that would be around
37. And of course, my husband didn't want me to teach. His idea was, you don't need to work. And then I was expecting my oldest son, Carol. And so I stayed home that year. He was just a little guy when my sister was teaching in a one-room school. Could I mention the school?
Sure.
Cricket school.
Oh, yeah.
Which is no longer there.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that school anyway.
And
So your sister was just... A teacher was over there, yeah.
And but she was expecting a child, and so she didn't accept the contract for the year. And I didn't want to teach because I wanted to be home with my
baby.
And but a member of the board came over here and almost told me it was my duty to. During the war, beginning of the war, teachers were scarce. They went to the shipyards, and they went to service, and they had no teacher, and Labor Day, school was to open. You know,
and
right
still
after
no
Labor,
teacher.
No teacher.
Oh, yeah.
So, they came here, the board member, and said, well, come and help us out until we... and find somebody that will take it for the school year. Well, so I agreed to go, and the salary then was a little better. And I don't remember what it was a year, but nevertheless, it still involved the chores and
The outhouse and water and all that stuff. So where did you live then when you were teaching at cricket school?
At home.
So you and Archie and Daryl lived at your other house?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, but then when Arch would be gone for the day, he did road work.
Yeah,
all rock and so forth, road work. So he couldn't be here with the nurse, so I took Daryl with me and the lady, which I have to know, her family lived across the road from the school.
Oh.
So she babysat my child, and because she had one the same age.
Good.
So he and Vicki were like this all through the years. So
Was it common for women to have children to teach at that time?
Well,
instead of staying home.
No,
is that a common
but
thing?
During the war.
Oh, you had to do your duty.
That's right.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. They almost spelled it out. Well, they were stuck for teachers.
Sure.
So anyway, and I was there 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and during the war years, 1941, our school, we had our regular savings stamps, savings bond day.
Yeah. So this is during the Second World War you're talking
about?
Oh,
yes. Okay. 1941.
Right.
And so we collected all kinds of things for the war efforts, you know, and they had savings stamps and everything, and,
mm-hmm.
and then,
so you said you stayed there 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you about where the school was, because...
across from Smidland Dairy, yes.
Yeah, well, you know, I was over there visiting with some people that thought they knew exactly where it was, and then some other people came out. This was this last weekend, in fact.
Oh.
It was here. Well, no, it was over here. Well, my house used to be... Was there several schools there one time in that vicinity, or was there
no, just
one?
No, just that one.
And the family that owns the property now, is it Albright or all something? They apparently owned it for a long
time.
Yeah,
Albright. Yeah, Albright. Yeah, they lived right... I think they converted the school into a living quarters for a while.
That's what one of the people in the neighborhood there told me.
Yeah.
No.
And Bronze lived next door to the school, but at that time.
More south.
North. The school was on the left side.
On the west side.
Yeah.
Yes. And the canyon was down below.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so Albright tore down or moved in part of the school,
yeah.
And then there's a field of daffodils there now.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it's kind of pretty, but it's there's some trashy stuff around. But,
oh.
I wanted to get a picture of the area or some people that knew about the school, too, because I knew that you had taught there, but just relatively close to the
yeah.
area.
Yeah, she's not very far from
France. Yeah, well, so... I think I got the vicinity, but they couldn't quite get where it was. Or,
I had all grades then.
You did?
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was a one room, I
thought. Oh, sure.
Yeah. So you had the child, and that babysitting thing worked out all right.
Oh, yes.
What about getting to school in the bad weather and all that?
Well, I just did it.
You still had a car then?
Yes.
So you drove.
Yeah. Then, let's see, what else was I going to say about this? Oh, B.W. Barnes was the superintendent at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so in those days, the superintendent visited every school, at least once per school there, see?
Mm.
So unannounced.
Oh.
Oh, yes, unannounced, but they're coming.
So you, at any time, could have shown up?
And he showed up one day. And he walked in, and of course, I had always stipulated to my class in the students, when a visitor enters, you rise, stand up. And they did, and he thought that was so nice. He was a nice self. I liked him.
Yes, yes.
And then I had a chart of things to live by. You know, be polite to others, consider the other students, and manners in other
sure.
words. But he read those 10 things. He said, I wish every classroom had this course, one like this course.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And I thought, well, I'd be approved of that.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed those years after this, you know, teaching at Crescent. take it. Well, then I had my daughter. So I didn't teach. I had to tell them why I didn't want to accept the contract this third time, third year. And so, again, I was going to stay there with the kids, sure. But that didn't work. At that time, over here, the Roy Public School, one-room school at Roy, only had 7 students.
Where was the building?
South of the railroad track. And it's where Dyke lives now.
Oh, all right.
It was a common school, public school, and they decided to rent one room in the parochial school at Roy, which was the old building, and 4 rooms, 2 downstairs, and the stage and so forth, where they had, part of it was for the church, for the church to build, and the other half was the classroom.
Okay. The county wanted to rent the public school?
They did.
In the Catholic school building?
And I taught there for 2 years. I had 47 students in the 3 grades in that.
In the public school?
Yeah, that was public.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, where was that building? Must have been east of where
the church
is.
It's right where where the school is now.
Oh, it was in the same place?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, So, again, I wasn't going to teach. Again, I was forced into it because they didn't have anybody to handle that.
Oh.
Which, you know.
And you were perfect for it because you were familiar with the area.
Yeah. So, but I imagine 3 grades and 47 students.
Jeez.
But it worked. You know, if you plan it right, it'll work.
Well, you were probably used to being around a lot of children from your family and all your experiences.
So, anyway, that was my experience there at the Roy.
That's interesting. I've never heard that story about that.
Yeah.
So the Catholic school and the public school is just right there playing, probably had recess and lunch together.
Oh, sure.
And everything.
Uh-huh. But they didn't draw a fine line at that time like they do now.
When
I taught at Roy.
Right. When the war was over?
Yeah. It was over in 45.
Yes.
And in 45, 46, Eldon was born in 49.
Okay. So it was before Eldon was born when you taught at Roy.
Yeah.
And then Eldon. And so you
Then I went. Is that on?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, that's all right. What were you going to say?
Then I was again not only invited but almost conscripted to go to teach at West Union.
Oh, but that was the good part.
That was the good part.
So this was after Eldon was not with a little baby.
He was only about a year old.
Oh,
when I went to West Union.
Oh, is that right?
And I left him with a family in North Plains who had a child his age, until he stayed with the family until he went to school here at Rock.
Oh,
I left him off in the morning
on the way to school.
And he enjoyed, he couldn't wait to get there to play with friends.
Sure.
So
that's good.
Not fine.
And it was kind of on your way to going to West Union.
Oh, yes. See, that was before the highway.
Right. Yeah.
So I went
on the over.
Sure. But my years at West Union were really pleasure. It was pleasure all the way through.
Right. So totally, how many years were you there?
10.
10 years. Mm. So what are some things then that you remember about that? Now that, you would have gone there probably in about like 1950, 51?
Yeah.
In that time frame? And so there were probably still mostly farm families?
Oh, yes.
Rural families?
Rural community.
Sure.
Very, very school-minded board members and parents, and I
think they still have that reputation because
yes.
they were an independent school for so long.
Oh yeah,
the school district.
So they had grades 1 through 8 at that time, and I had 8th grade most of the year. For a while, I had a split thing.
But at least now, at this point, you were able to just have one grade instead of having all these
yeah.
grades and kids and
yeah.
everything.
So, although I had 42 8th graders in my room at West Union.
Oh, that must have been crazy.
Oh, it was fun. They were young adults,
uh-huh.
and they were a pleasure to teach.
That's great.
And when the state supervisor came by, again, instead of superintendent, the one from Salem, mm-hmm. the state supervisor, would come to visit the classroom. So the principal brought her around to the room. I saw him stand looking through the glass.
Uh-huh.
And they finally came in and the room to observe, which didn't bother me, but I had a boy in a wheelchair, a boy on crutches who had broken his leg, and another one, arm in a sling, had broken her arm. And they got the biggest charge out of this because they thought it was a rehab center.
Oh, injured children.
Yeah.
Oh.
But the boy in the wheelchair had never been in a public school before. He had home teaching.
Oh.
Because he was handicapped from birth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they finally arranged that the mother brought him to school and he used to be in my room. Of course, he didn't fit scholastically.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
But I let him hand out papers. I let him do the wheelchair work. You
sure.
know, things that then he learned by listening.
Sure. And to be with other kids.
Yes.
That's good.
So that worked out fine. I didn't mind it at all. I felt I was helping.
Sure.
And he.
We're starting the second part of our discussion this evening with Henrietta Jesse. March 1997. And we're at her home here at Mountaindale area. It's just north of Bank. But we're right now in her life. We're at West Union Grade School. And you had the graduating classes.
Yes, very, very. Oh, and I also had girls PE.
Oh.
And so we played in mural, and then we played in the schools.
Oh,
basketball,
I guess.
And volleyball.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet you did good at that.
And that was interesting, and the girls were just really proud. Always kept their uniforms and their clothes so neat and clean, and I was always so proud. I have pictures of them.
Oh, yeah.
I have to show that.
Uh-huh.
And so that was a good experience. But then the community began to have some trouble. There were two factions, and it seemed like with the change of principal at the time, things kind of fell apart. And the four teachers left that year in the school.
That's a big change
yeah.
for a lot of these. Yeah.
Because, things were in the turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
So, about that time, the principal from North Plains came over. And rather, you come over to North Plains. It'll be closer to your home. You won't have so far to go. You know,
he was trying to woo you over.
He did. And he said, besides, the salary's better. And if you come over there, you'll have a split grade until there's an opening for one grade.
Oh,
uh-huh. Okay, that was, so I went to West Union. I was there 19 years.
So you went
left? To North Plains, I mean.
Yeah, you were at West Union for 10 years.
Yeah.
And then you went to North Plains.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so that must have been, let me see, that would be in the 60s, first part of 60s?
60, yeah, clear until I retired in the 70s. Where I guess it was. I don't know.
Sure. Well, in the 60s, you went to North Plains. Oh, so you got closer to home, more money, and a better grade situation.
Yeah.
And so you were you one of the four teachers then that left West Union?
Yeah. But the school board member, I think said, well, we were hoping you would stay, but they understood. Well, I don't like to go into what the trouble was, but I had already decided to go on.
Sure, no change.
But I still kept in touch with West Union and with those families that I had.
And it wasn't really that far away.
No, but it was too bad, but it finally, things got straightened out after 2 or 3 years because the principal, they transferred the principal.
Oh, I see. So everything gets kind of figured out.
Yeah.
I think that same thing happens in business and everything.
Oh, yeah.
There's always get along.
Something that's your flying ointment.
Yeah, that's too bad.
So
you went over there to North Plains on... Well, the school's the same school, isn't it? That built on.
No, I taught in the old building in North Plains.
Oh,
the one that looks just like the one of ours.
Yes, okay. Oh, and that one. I thought the school there now was older than that. I guess it is.
No, because I taught 8th grade in the old building at North Plains.
So it's a two-story kind of box type.
Like just like that one.
Sure. St. Matthew's in Hillsborough, I remember it was like that too.
Yeah. So then... I was there at the time when we moved into the new
building. Yeah.
Okay. And, of course, I had 8th grade there in the old building, and also when we moved to the new building. And when we got over to the new building, I had a split grade, 5 and 7.
Oh,
grade 5 and grade 7.
But not 6?
No.
But
that was the overflow.
Oh.
From grade 5, and I had the overflow of 7.
Okay.
But there's that, look at that spread there between the subject matter.
Right.
But had to work it out. And I was stuck with this situation for 5 years. But the principal told me, as soon as there's an opening, you'll have one grade.
Oh,
and I approached him one day, I said, now wait a minute, I was to have a one grade in the room when there's an opening. There have been a lot of openings, and I said, what about this? You're the only one that could handle this situation.
Oh, darling, they knew what you could do.
Yeah, so I didn't get it. Eventually they sent the grade 7 and 8 Hillsborough, so then I had 6th grade.
You see, yes, I remember when that happened.
Yeah. So I had ended up with 6th grade. Of course, then the 6th grade students, it was almost like another graduation. I mean, this transition between from grade school into junior high. So I had to prepare them for that and all that.
So did you have to do any of the coaching, gym stuff, or any of that when you were North Plains?
Yeah.
You did that too?
I had probably girls volleyball. I had girls PE there besides the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I enjoyed that though, so that wasn't any problem. And it was a good situation there. It was a different caliber of students, though, from different, more of a transient type.
Yes.
They were in the, people or families that followed the crops,
Yes.
And so they weren't too stable. They would be in the district for a few months, part of the year, and then they're going on to the next.
Changes, one student changing.
Because of the work situation.
Oh, I see.
they go from the berry harvest or the fall work and then follow the next crop. And so it was not too stable as far as some of them.
So what, in the 60s or whatever, do you remember any of the salaries that you were paid in any of the school, like North Plains or when you first started?
Oh, yeah, yeah, all my contracts.
So you had a contract and you were offered a certain amount each year for the school year.
After graduating from Monmouth, the two-year program, and if you taught for 33 months, you would be entitled to a life certificate.
So truly, at that time, you could teach your whole life?
Yeah.
Because you had
a life certificate.
For heaven's sake.
But I didn't settle. I didn't let it ride right there.
Uh-huh.
I kept on going to school, night school, to where I got my bachelor's four-year certificate. And I didn't stop there. I went on till I had my fifth year. And credits over and above fifth year, I did not get a master's for the simple reason they weren't interested in a master teacher's salary, because they would have to pay on the salary scale so much more than a bachelor's degree.
Oh, and the rural schools probably didn't have the money to do that kind of thing.
No, the district had only the support.
So you have your certificate there of your graduation. What is this? Oh, for heaven's sake, just a piece of paper here. This is certified that Henrietta Anna Jesse has completed all requirements for a Bachelor of Science degree in Education, Elementary at Oregon College of Education, June 1957. Oh, you must have asked for verification.
I had
probably, of what you had achieved.
Yeah.
And there's a certificate of 1946. And this is when you graduated from normal school or teacher's college.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. Oh, I recognize this button.
Yeah, here's my very good.
And that's your diploma. That's probably what this letter verified.
Yeah,
that's nice. Great. Good if it's you got me there. That's it.
And this is the commencement.
Oh, from when you graduated?
In 1958.
When you got your fourth?
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, I'll tell you.
That's good. So you kind of answered the question I was asking about the pay, that you probably, even if you had gotten your master's, you wouldn't have gotten any more money because they wouldn't have paid you, maybe.
They would have to follow the
or they would have had to pay
the schedule.
Oh.
But they weren't hiring people with masters.
Okay, so it would not have been to your advantage to do that, because maybe then you wouldn't have got a job.
I wouldn't have gotten a job, because they can hire a bachelor,
one
of the bachelor's degree for less money.
Oh.
And they didn't get the masters.
Oh, for heaven's sake. And today it's to your advantage to have a more education.
Yes, but today they tracked into a specialized area instead of all subject matters.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you had to teach everything.
Yeah.
That's right, too. So you taught at North Plains, so I think that probably you must have gotten by then some special recognition or some awards and things in your lifetime of teaching. What kinds of things did you must have. I know you don't like to talk about yourself, but you must have gotten some awards or something.
Well, I did get a
special thing.
An award for science.
Oh.
So a special award for science. We had science fair.
Yes.
And then we would do winning projects. The winners would go to the state to understand.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so several of my students had winning projects that
uh-huh.
won award. So I was honored by having
the science teacher.
The science teacher.
for the
science department.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I don't know.
What else? I bet you have some other things that happened. Tell me, what about any parties or activities that happened at school?
Oh, I can tell you one.
Explain.
Yeah, all right.
Story.
Explain.
I know that you've got some stories.
This is not funny. It's real. The fair up in Seattle. The World Fair.
Oh, yes.
It was in the 50s.
Yes.
Early 60s, when
I think so.
Yeah.
They built
the
state meeting and all
that.
Yeah.
And so we took the sixth graders.
Oh.
Well, we have two rooms, two sixth grade classes there, to go to the World's Fair. So we packed up sandwiches, boxes of apples, and a busload of heads, about 50 of them, and we go to the World's Fair in Seattle. And it poured down rain up there, but we had stipulated that they would stay in groups of four so that they wouldn't get lost up
sure.
there. Well, we finally, it rained so hard you couldn't keep track of it. Well, they had to just on the carpet, of course, and duck into the different displays. But when it came time to board the bus to come back home.
It was just for the day that you went?
Yeah, just for the day.
Oh, that's a big trip.
Oh, it was. So we managed to get them all back on the bus, and
wet,
soaking wet, and late getting back to the school where the parents would pick them up. We didn't get there until almost midnight. Oh, what a day. It was awful. And as far as getting much out of it, I don't think they did because it was so miserable, and they were wet and cold.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, that was the experience going to Lone Star.
Oh,
I've got to tell you about another experience taking the 8th graders from West Union to the state capitol to visit the legislature.
Yeah.
And so they sat through the proceedings and it went fine. And then on the way home, we decided to go to the McLaughlin House in Oregon City. And this was an Oregon history summary.
I think so. I remember in 8th grade, I think I had to do that
yeah.
too. Was that standard? That
yeah. Oh, yes. This is the
Oregon historical thing.
Yeah. So we go and visit the McLaughlin House, and then we they have the experience of going up the hill on that elevator and all.
Yeah.
The bus is down below. Mm-hmm. So then when it was time to get on the bus, and everybody there, and we start back down the Boston Boulevard to go back to school. And we get way down the pike, and where's Curtis? No Curtis on the bus. We had to go back and try to find Curtis.
And he was by himself?
Yeah.
Oh.
So we, you know, trying to manipulate this bus around those narrow streets in Oregon City.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But we finally saw him leaning up against the corner of a building there in Oregon City. There it stood. Just like, well, he wasn't as nervous about it as we were.
Oh,
so we finally found him. And then we proceeded to go on back. Of course, again, we were late getting back, and the parents there to meet the bus. But we lost Curtis.
Oh,
but
dear.
He wasn't afraid
or anything?
No.
Oh, 8th grade. Oh, they're tough.
Yeah. So that was that experience.
Oh, boy.
But, we had all kinds of tournaments. All kinds of sports activities there at West Union. Also, field age.
Sure.
And all that.
Yeah.
But that's about all I know about them.
Well, I'm sure that probably you had a lot of things, maybe you'll think of some other things as we talk about. What I wanted to ask you, which isn't part of your career necessarily, but have you ever heard about or talked to anyone about the Japanese school that was in Bank?
No, I never heard of it.
Is that right?
That they had a separate school for the
yes.
Japanese?
Well, it was a lot to do with the culture that they wanted to continue. It was down in the building, actually, where Abby's door, I think.
Oh.
It was in that area.
Oh, near where the post office was.
Post office area. Was, the Japanese had a school there.
I didn't know that.
During the 20 years that they were in the bank there.
Yeah, when they raised strawberries.
Yes.
No, I didn't know about that.
And so I thought maybe you, the family, anybody ever heard about that?
No, never did.
It may have had something to do with maybe some of their religious beliefs that they were teaching also.
That could be.
But, and the language.
Yeah.
But I know that in the old city records, there's discussion about what they called the Jap school. And in fact, the records for the water bill and all are all written as Jap school.
Oh.
Very interesting, but,
yeah.
But I can't find anybody that knows about that school.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, there was. Well, I think we've kind of ended our conversation here. You're probably all worn out from talking about all this stuff that you didn't really want to do.
No, I thought that might be, is that turned off?
Should I turn it off?
Yeah,
okay, I'll do that.
If there
We've found some more words here that I want to share with you. Henrietta, at the beginning of our talk, read a paragraph from a story that she had written for an Oregon State education booklet in 1977. I think it was when you wrote that. That's when the book was published anyway. And so she read the first paragraph of how her life began. What she's going to do is kind of finish up here with some stories about her thoughts and her education from childhood through high school. So she'll continue on for where she left off of being born with a twin in a family of 10 children to now going on to school.
Our childhood days on the farm were filled with much activity, both work and play. Each had a few of her chores and jobs to do. And each had special interests, such as animal pets, riding horses, soapbox, hot rods, homemade toys, musical instruments, including cigar box violins, and ball games, and so forth. Our parents realized the importance of an education and cooperated fully with our teachers in matters of learning and discipline, and the elementary curriculum of that era meant learning the 3 hours and spelling together with the religious training that the parochial school, under the strict guidance of the teaching nuns. There were no activities such as we have in our schools today, nor were there school buses. Cars were a rare luxury, and deep rutted roads made winter travel difficult except on foot, horseback, or carriage. With lunch pail and books in hand, the 2-mile trek to school was part of the daily routine. This meant early to rise and late to bed, for as always, there was work to do both before and after school. Since high school attendance was not compulsory at that time, a formal education ended upon completing the 8th grade and passing the state examinations. Our parents, especially Dad, were a bit leery about our attending the local public high school. The total enrollment there varied from 70 to 85 students. Because of the many distractions to learning and the social activities, such as the intramural sports, school parties, and dances, and however though, Banks High was small, its curriculum was broad, required courses in algebra, geometry, biology, chemistry, English, literature, Latin, history, and the commercial courses. Homemaking for the girls, agriculture for the boys, were taught by well-qualified teachers. Finally, graduation day came for our class of 28 students, the year 1928. For many, it meant finding a job. For others, further schooling. Either was difficult due to the nation's economic decline. Jobs were very scarce, low wages, much unemployment, and low prices for farm products. Bank failures resulted in the panic of 1929 and depression years which followed. times were discouraging indeed, but my hopes of becoming a teacher lingered on. And after working at various jobs, I was able financially to enter teachers' college.
Now that's where we're, we started our talk then, after you had saved some money and were able to go to college. So we kind of have your whole story there, but why don't you finish now with at the end of what you've written here are some really good words of wisdom, I think, for all of us to remember. If you would want to finish up with that thought.
All right. Being better qualified to teach with that additional schooling, and looking back over the years, I firmly believe that the school of experience is of equal value, for with each new school year comes new vistas and visions paralleled with their successes and failures. I'd like to conclude with this thought, helping to shape the lives of youth reach the bountiful harvest.
Thank you very much. That's really nice that you could share what you wrote so long ago, because it's still true today.
That's right. I think it is too.
It's really good, and I really appreciate the time that you spent with me. And I want to tell you happy birthday soon to be your 88th birthday.
Oh, that's right. It is coming up.
This has been a special time.
But I missed my twin brother at that time.
I know. That's a sad time.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we
thank you.
Look back.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. I'm glad to share this.